It's Wednesday of Holy Week, Spy Wednesday. Welcome to today's Lentcast. This is Father John Zilsdorf. Today is the last full day of Lent, Wednesday of Holy Week, also called Spy Wednesday. The nickname Spy Wednesday probably comes from the fact that Judas slipped off to conspire with the Sanhedrin to betray the Lord on this day. The Roman station is the Liberian Basilica, St. Mary Major. We were here 5 weeks ago. After an apparition of Mary on the 5th of August 352, there was a miraculous snowfall during a Roman August, truly miraculous, which outlined the plan for this church on the Esquiline Hill. Pope Liberius began the construction of the first church, though the actual site was nearby to the present church, rather than on this spot. The present St. Mary's, however, is probably still the oldest Western church dedicated to Mary. It was built on the present location by Pope Sixtus III, at the time when the Council of Ephesus issued its definition that Mary is Mother of God. She is Mother of the whole person of Christ, and not just part of His person. And so, since she is the Mother of Jesus, and Jesus is both perfectly human and perfectly God, Mary is the Mother of God. In this basilica you will find the tomb of St. Matthias, the 13th apostle who replaced Judas, and also St. Jerome. Housed here is also a reliquary with what are thought to be pieces of wood from the holy manger of Bethlehem. The tomb of the great sculptor Gian Lorenzo Bernini is here in this church, in the floor to the left of the altar, and it's toward the chapel of the Borghese family, wherein is venerated the image of Mary most beloved by the Romans, Salus Populi Romani, the salvation of the Roman people, which has been here for some 1,400 years. On the other side of the basilica, where you find the Blessed Sacrament, is the Sistine Chapel, called that because it was built by Sixtus V. He built it for his own burial place, and he also provided a tomb here for his friend, St. Pius V. He's also interred in this chapel. During your visit to the basilica, also make sure you look into the Sforza Chapel. That's the last work of Michelangelo in 1564 before his death. From The Life of Christ by Fulton J. Sheen. Our Lord described himself as having a baptism wherewith he was to be baptized. John gave him the baptism of water, but the Roman soldiers gave him his baptism of blood. After opening his sacred flesh with violent stripes, they now put on him a purple robe which adhered to his bleeding body. Then they plaited a crown of thorns which they placed on his head. They mocked him, and put a rod in his hand after beating him on the head. Then they knelt down before him in feigned adoration. By Bishop Jacques-Bénigne Bossuet. In the warmer regions of the East, bathing was frequent, and after one had washed in the morning and then again during the day, all that remained for the evening was to wash the feet, so that the grime of one's comings and goings could be cleansed. This is the sense in which we are to take the words of the spouse in the Song of Songs, "I had bathed my feet, how could I soil them?" Jesus makes use of this image to teach his followers that after they had been washed of their greater sins, they still need to take care to purify themselves of those small sins they commit during the normal course of life. A soul that loves God never finds anything that offends him to be minor. If we neglect to purify ourselves of these faults, they will place our soul in a deadly state, imperceptibly weakening its powers in such a way that little strength will remain to resist great temptations, which can be defeated only by very ardent charity. He who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but he is clean all over, and you are clean, but not all of you. By these words, Jesus teaches us that we are not permitted to neglect lesser sins, for this is what he wished to signify by the washing of feet. In order to peer deeply into this mystery, we should see that the care he takes to wash the feet of the apostles at the moment when he is about to institute the Eucharist teaches us that the time when we ought to purge ourselves of our venial sins is when we are preparing for communion, that most perfect union with Jesus Christ. To this union, our sins are so great an obstacle that if we were to die before having expiated them, the beatific vision would be delayed, perhaps for centuries. We ought then to feel all the more obliged to purify ourselves of these sins before communion, because it is by communion that they are chiefly removed, the greater ones having been removed by the sacrament of penance. Neglect of these faults can proceed to such an excess that not only does our attachment to these sins become dangerous, which it always is, but even mortal. For the one who cares only about the sins that would damn him shows that it is punishment alone that he fears, and that he does not truly love justice, that is to say, he does not love God as he is obliged to do. Such a one should fear to lose what remains to him of the divine fire of charity. Let us then carefully wash ourselves, not only our hands and our head, but also our feet before approaching the Eucharist. Jesus teaches his apostles the seriousness of this obligation when he says to them, "If I do not wash you, you have no part in me." This is not only because our sins retard the beatific vision and our perfect union with God, but because to neglect to wash them may bring a dangerous chill between our soul and Christ, and even become deadly. Wash yourself, Christian, wash yourself of all your sins, even the least of them, when you are about to approach the holy table. Wash your feet with care, renew yourself entirely, lest you eat the body of the Savior unworthily. Even when we are not completely unworthy, with that indignity that renders us unworthy of the body and blood of the Savior, we may still be unworthy to receive great graces, without which we cannot overcome great weaknesses, nor the great temptations of which life is full. Lord, wash my feet, so that I can say with the spouse, "I have bathed my feet, how could I soil them?" Purity is a magnet for attracting purity. The whiter one's clothing, the more noticeable are the stains upon it. The cleaner one is, the more one should avoid becoming soiled. Let us desire to be counted among those of whom it is written that they are spotless before the throne of God. To this goal we should aspire, remembering the lovely teaching of St. Augustine, that although we cannot live here below without sin, we can leave this life without sin, because while our sins are many, the remedies for healing them are not wanting. The prayer over the people in the extraordinary form of the Roman Rite. Oremus, humiliate capita vestra Deo. Respice quaesimus Domine super hanc familiam tuam, pro qua Dominus noster Iesus Christus, non dubitavit manibus tradi nocentium, et crucis subire tormentum. Let us pray. Bow your heads to God. Look down, we beseech thee, O Lord, on this thy family, for whose sake our Lord Jesus Christ refused not to yield himself into the hands of the wicked and to suffer the torments of the cross, who livest and reignest with God the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Thank you for listening. This is Father John Zolsdorf. Please pray for me as I will for you.